Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now we're going to turn to the issue of the junior cert, and I hate to remind anyone sitting it of the upcoming deadline, because in about 4 weeks' time, the junior cycle exams will start with the English paper, and anxious and eager students across the country are finalising study plans and covering as much revision as possible. Some people probably only starting, but is it all worth it? All the stress and worry that comes with exams for an entire family, and what's the real value of junior cycle exams? Well, I'm joined by Mary McCarthy, a columnist with the Irish Independent, and Kevin Shortall, who is principal of St Aidan's Community School in Tala. Good morning to you both.
Morning, Colin.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. Mary, what's your experience of the junior cert? I don't want to take you that short while ago since you sat it yourself. You have it in the family this year.
Well, listen, 1992. No, it's a far way off. I can't even remember. It was like for me. I do have my son now is doing it this year. It's looming into view. It's actually less than a month there. You said a month. It's the 5th of June, so it's around 3 weeks. And do you know, Colm, I'm disappointed that 10% is all that they get for their classroom assessments. And I just feel like the syllabus has really changed. You were saying there, is the junior cert still important? I think it really is, because at that age, we really want to get them learning and engaging. But how we test them, like the world has changed, the syllabus has changed, it's way more interesting now. The world has changed, so how they source and how they utilise information, how they collaborate, like that's way more important than rote learning when I was doing my junior cert. But unfortunately, how we test them is essentially the same, because it's still 90% that high stakes, sudden death. You know, it's very stressful. At Easter, I was kind of, you know, shouting at my son, get up there and study, and he was doing grinds. But actually, I've really just taken the foot off the pressure now, because he doesn't need that pressure. I am disappointed, because when he did the class-based assessments, like Kevin will be able to give me the pros and cons of this, but I feel he took an interest more, and you had to present them to the class, and you had to go off and collaborate. A lot of them, you did them with someone else. So I just felt he kind of got a lot more out of the content that he's learning, you know. And it's like, if there was more of that, like for his leaving cert, it's going to be 40% projects. So the junior cert, it's out of date now. It needs to line up at least with the leaving cert, and I would actually say 50-50, slice and dice up that pressure.
So you're not calling for the complete scrapping of the exams, but just less focus on it, is it?
Yeah, I don't think we should scrap them, because I do think there's a real need at that age to kind of rein them in and, you know, properly make them focus on their studies. But I think the way we're doing it is all wrong, and I think maybe have to have 50% of your marks go in the final exams, and then 50% class-based assessments, and not have the teachers correcting those exams, because Ireland's too small. I mean, you'll meet your students and little, or worse, their parents. So, but like, for instance, my son's doing TechCraft, and he does a project, and that's been sent off to be corrected by another examiner. So if you could do that for the subjects.
All right.
I don't know, would that work, Kevin?
I think 1992 might have been the first year of the junior cert, Mary. I only say that as someone...
No, it wasn't. Yeah.
It was
1989. I think the intercert was scrapped in 1989. Maybe
no, 1991. I was the last year of the intercert.
Ah.
Yeah, there you
okay.
go. That's what
the, so I was so the first.
You are an inaugural junior searcher. Kevin Shortall, I won't ask you. I won't ask you whether you did the inter.
Colm, I'm getting embarrassed here, because I definitely, most definitely did the intercert in the 80s. And I couldn't agree more. When we went to school, it was like, oh, wait till you get to your intercert. Oh, you'll know all about it next year. And this whole regime of frightening people about exams. So I couldn't agree more. This whole thing of this terminal exam, this high stakes, you know, everything rides on the final exam, is what we don't want in education. And even, I don't want to sound pedantic, but the word junior cert shouldn't even be used anymore.
It should be
junior cycle.
Junior cycle exams.
It's like our problems with pronouns. We kind of hold on to what we know over the years. Junior cycle was envisaged to be a 3-year cycle of learning.
And has it delivered that, in your opinion, Kevin?
Huh?
Has it delivered that, or is it still very exam focused?
It's definitely a step in the right direction. Now, I don't think anybody's going to ask me to write the history of why we're 10%, 90%, and it was never intended to be that way, but everything had to be got across the line with all the different partners in education. But there's certainly within schools, there's a real understanding and a real focus among good teachers that we shouldn't be doing this big summit of final exam. What we should be doing is looking at the whole thing of assessment as a way of understanding your learning as you go along, getting involved in your learning, seeing where you are. And the whole thing of the CBA as well, which is a great idea, the student picking a topic, something that they're passionate about, researching it, making a presentation on it, doing some personal work on it. That's how it'll be when you're in third level. The problem is there is a bit of a mismatch between the junior and the leaving. So senior cycle reform is very important. It is happening, but it can't happen quick enough. But again, I kind of try to liken the whole notion of assessment as like going to your physiotherapist. And I'm going to patent this one. If you went to your physio and your physio said, I'm giving you an A, well done, you're a pleasure to work with, that'd be no good for you. Your physio will say to you, we've been working on your leg this month and you've done great work on your ankle. You've done the exercises every day. This is really good. Now, try this exercise for your knee because this is the next bit we need to work on. And if you do that for the next few weeks, you'll be right as rain and you'll be doing great. We should be doing the very same thing with everything we learn. We need to know where we're at, we need to know what we do next, and we need to have a sense of our own progress. And the most important thing, and that's why the CBAs are great, we need to experience success and we need to know what that feeling looks like. So putting a letter or a number on a whole load of different students, and you're first and you're second and you got an A and you got this and you got a H this and H that, we need to move away from that.
All right,
because everybody, you know, that's the junior cycle envisages that. This whole thing of formative assessment as we go along envisages that. That's the reason why it was done that way, and we need to keep moving in that direction.
All right, Mary. In terms of the marks and the effort reward ratio when it came to classroom based assessments, do you think they delivered in that regard to motivate your son to kind of push on for the next one?
Well, it's funny. He didn't really seem to know that it was worth so little. They did put a lot of importance on it. Like, it is only 10%, and the teacher's not giving it to, like, a description, so it was in line with expectations, or it was exceeding expectations. And then an outside examiner actually looks for, like, the student then writes a reflection on their own learning, and that's what's marked. So, for instance, my son, like, he's good at certain subjects, but he's overall, like, he's just not, when it comes to tests, he's not that academic, right? So, for instance, in geography, in his max, I think he could do something large. But when he was doing his class-based assessment, he did the wildfires in California with a friend, and he got it and was even reading up, like, even when he finished the assessment, he'd be saying, oh, Mammy, you know, they're 25% more likely now. He was really, really into it. And I just thought, this is what we want. We want, and, you know, Kevin, that example for the physio is brilliant. It shouldn't be a child in time, what you know of this day. It's like constant learning, constant engaging, and you're growing with the subject. And you know what, Colin, the grind culture that we have. I mean, the ERSI had a report there just a few weeks ago. They found, I thought it was fascinating, that, like, the more advantaged students, you're more likely to do a grind if you go to private school than if you don't. And there's 60% of children that they're leaving. And I just think the way we do it at the moment, the sudden death exam, like, that's just feeding into that grind culture. And we're never going to narrow that gap of doing the high point courses outside for grind,
right?
Because you feel you have to.
Mary, your line is slightly shaky there. I'm going to go back to Kevin on that. Kevin, how do teachers find the classroom based assessment in terms of setting it, designing it, correcting it? Are they happy with that?
Broadly, I would say yes. And in our school, it's certainly the case. There's great excitement. Like, I get to go in sometimes and there's a celebration. We need to celebrate learning and achievement. And the classroom-based assessments are really achieved that. Of course, there was a sharp learning curve. It was a big change from the way we did things before. But a lot of the courses that we have in school, Leaving Cert Applied, JCSP, there is that whole dimension of project work and learning as you go along. And praise is so addictive in schools. And again, when we start breaking down, this is worth so many percent, that's worth so many percent, this gets you this gets you that, the whole thing of the rat race to the CAO, it's counterproductive, I think. You know, I think it was Dr. Ken Robinson that said that so many children go to school who are quite brilliant and come out not knowing that they are. And it's the job of a school to find that thing that students are great at and to celebrate that. And look, at the junior cycle really aims for that. It's not perfect. The senior cycle reform hopefully will aim at that as well. But it's about a mindset change. But back to your original question, the CBAs caused great excitement. My own children did CBAs. They loved them. I never heard them coming home talking about anything as much as they talked about their CBAs and saying, I did my CBA. They'd prepare it. They'd get it ready. They'd see their own friends doing it. They learn from each other. They work in groups. It's this whole thing of cogging, you know, don't show anybody what you did and make sure nobody copies off you. As in, again, it's this competition thing.
Right.
It's all wrong. Let's work together to achieve. You do that when you're in the workplace. You do it in later life. We need to start it earlier.
So just briefly, Kevin, is it, you know, I suppose you hear the same thing crop up in the debate around homework as well. Are parents who've been through exams reluctant to change a system they went through themselves on the basis that they think, you know, that's the only form of hard work that kids should be exposed to?
Yeah, well, you see, now, there's nothing wrong with assessment necessarily, and there's nothing wrong with a test. Someday you'll have to do a driving test, you'll have to do a job interview. It is good to put people through that kind of stress at their own level of getting ready for something to be tested. That's okay, but we do it in a way that doesn't separate people. But homework should be called home practice. Homework shouldn't be something that should steal your evening. Homework should be something about you're aware of what you need to do. And when you do that, is because the reason why you do it is because you want to get better at something. And it is possible to inspire young people to want to do that, to be interested in that. But this thing of we've done five questions, do from 5 to 25 tonight, and then that, you know, and then we'll put a big red tick mark on it tomorrow and not check it. That's the kind of assessment we need to get away from. But let's say we did something where people practice something during the week, and at the end of the week we look at it again and we commend the progress and we see where we're at and we move on. That's a far more beneficial. So move away from the word homework. I don't like the word work. Home practice, or this whole notion of let's perfect what we're doing, let's redraft what we did. They're all things that are in the junior cycle, about looking at what you're doing, how you're doing, and how to make it better. That's what we do in life. That's what journalists do when they're writing columns. You know, your first draft isn't the perfect one. You do it again and again and again, you get it better. So this whole notion, and the junior cycle is beginning to do that. It'll take time, but I think it's a real step in the right direction. But again, this whole thing of the summit of final exam, where we sort everybody out in rows in terms of who did well and who didn't, we need to move away from that in education.
All right, Mary, how are the anxiety levels in your house? Has your foot off the pedal approach worked in terms of dialing down the stress levels in advance of the exams?
Do you know, see, he was getting very left, and I literally, he joined a new gym there last week. So I said to him, look, go to the gym every night, and his pals are going up there, and I just think, it's only so, and do you know what, I do think that the interface, Kevin, like back in your day and even back in my day, it was way more important because so many more people left school, you know, than early. Now almost everyone does their leaving. So, but also, like, I have a good example for you. I'm in Paris at the moment. My French is dire. I just ordered something in a bakery there and it was embarrassing. But I did really well in my junior cert and my leaving cert French because I can game exams. I'm good at that. And I just think if we had a different system where it wasn't about gaming the exam, it was the maximum point, it was about actually learning properly, I think I'd be able to speak French, you know, and that's what I think,
right,
as Kevin was saying, it's, you know, it's self-motivating, it's kind of that learning frame, because that's what the workplace is going to be like.
Okay,
you know?
I'm afraid we have to leave it there, so it's au revoir to you, Mary, and Sloan to you, Kevin. Coming up next, we're going to have a look at staying safe this summer, but before we get there, we've still to come on the programme. We have, obviously, people have heard that commitment from the Taoiseach to ending tents on Dublin streets now for the hard part, delivery. 3 weeks out from the Women's Mini Marathon, we'll bring you the survival guide to making it across that finishing line, and we'll thrash out the big stories of the week on our Friday gathering.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.